We are all born into the darkness of material ignorance. We sit before you today with our eyes closed shut. But we are very happy and pleased and grateful that our spiritual master has come to us in our darkness and forced us to open our eyes with the blazing torchlight of transcendental knowledge. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. We're on chapter 13, sloka 19, is that right? We did 19 or we have to do 19? We're on 19. Everyone was astonished to see the decorations on the Rath car. The car appeared to be newly made of gold and was as high as Mount Sumeru. In this year, 1973, there was a gorgeous Rath Yatra festival in London, England, and the car was brought to Trafalgar Square. The London daily newspaper, The Guardian, published a front page photo caption, ISKCON Rath Yatra is rival to Nelson's Column in Trafalgar Square. The Nelson Column is a very impressive statue of Lord Nelson and can be seen from a good distance, just as the residents of Puri compare the Rath Yatra car to Mount Sumeru, the residents of London considered the car rival to Nelson's monument. Sloka 20. The decorations included bright mirrors and hundreds of chamaras, white whisks made of yak tails. On the top of the car were a nice and clean canopy and a very beautiful flag. 21. This car was also decorated with silken cloth and various pictures, many brass bells, gongs, and ankle bells rang. 22. For the pastimes of Rath Yatra ceremony, Lord Jagannath got aboard the car with his sister Subhadra and elder brother Balaram, got aboard two of the cars. For 15 days, the Lord had remained in a secluded place with the Supreme Goddess of Fortune and had performed his pastimes with her. So, I wanted to read some of the Chaitanya Charitamrita's account of the Rath Yatra festival. But I also wanted to take this opportunity to share some of my personal pastimes with Srila Prabhupada at Rath Yatra festival. I think I have a unique position in that I attended all the second Rath Yatra in 1968, and my spiritual life, how measly it is, has been intertwined with Rath Yatra through my whole life, and with Srila Prabhupada pulling me along. And as disciples of Srila Prabhupada, we have all been linked up to a very mystical rasa with Lord Jagannath. It's not very common. It's a very mystical rasa. And we can understand that the internal potency of the Lord arranges things so the Lord can have his pastimes. Similarly, I contend that the internal potencies of the Lord arranged things so Srila Prabhupada had this intimate relationship with Lord Jagannath. And he drew us into this relationship with Lord Jagannath. And 45 years later, Rathiatra festivals are still expanding throughout the world. And this is all due to Srila Prabhupada's relationship with Lord Jagannath. So, as we all have heard the story many times, that Srila Prabhupada wanted the Jagannath cart. And his father didn't have the facility to make a Rathiatra cart. So Prabhupada was a very headstrong boy, and he was throwing a tantrum. And lo and behold, this little old lady came around, I contend, the internal energy. And she said, "Wow, what's the matter with little boy, the little baby boy? He's such a nice baby." His father said, "Oh, he's throwing a tantrum because he wants a Rathiatra cart, and I can't, you know, provide him with a Rathiatra cart." "Oh, I have a Rathiatra cart. It's old. It's kind of broken. But it's a Rathiatra cart." So Gaur Mahanday said, "Oh, let us have a look at it." So they went and they got the Rathiatra cart. So when I heard that that pastime, I wrote a poem. I'd like to recite the poem. It's called Moti's Play. Prabhupada's name was Moti when he was young. Pet name. Moti's Play. Quietly spreading colors over crude wooden columns, side by side, leaning closer, feeling the warmth of each other's breath, the coolness of the floor through the thin khadi cloth, the purifying smell of burning cow dung, the clip-clop rumbling of the horse-drawn trolley, the delicate little hand of a young boy guided by the steady stroke of his father. But wait, this is not just another doting parent's indulgence in a pet child's whim, but rather the celestial toil of the ancients once again being played out on earth. They painted those columns bright, red, yellow, blue, striped circles and mirrored. They painted the procession of graceful swans, white, beaks, eyes, and wings. They painted the fences green, staked and tied all around. They fastened the tow ropes of jute, thick and long. They rounded the wooden-spoked wheels, now trued and smoothly spinning on strong, straightened axles. They stretched the calico canopy over the bamboo frame dome, now flowing in the breeze from the evening window. And then a soft, sweet, shared smile of satisfaction as the Kumbh Chakra spire, adorned with parrots and the flag of victory, was set, while below the driver and his prancing carousel horses were carefully placed. But only a brief interlude of anointed exchange transpired, for there was still much to do. Had the mothers prepared sufficient quantities and varieties of Mahaprasad and the flowers? There must be many fragrant flowers. Even some fireworks. Was it possible? Was it possible? The answer was stern but kind. "Never mind. Not to worry. Some other time." "But please, Father, trim and fill the lamps, for our tasks remain many, and the royal family of Nilachal must ride in grand style tomorrow. So, for tonight, time has obediently retired at the doorstep, while the lights burn long into the night at the little temple house of Gaur Mohan Day. So, we can understand that this Rath Yatra festival was orchestrated right from Srila Prabhupada's birth. Not only he had the Rath cart painted with his father, repaired, and Lord Jagannath sat on the cart, but he took it through the neighborhood, and it was such a popular festival that when the neighbors were not invited one year, they were all complaining, why we have not been invited to the Rath Yatra festival of your son? And Gaur Mohan Day say, oh, it's just a children's play. No. You know, and Srila Prabhupada was organizing the ladies of the neighborhood to make plenty of prasadam to be distributed at the Rath Yatra festival. So, wouldn't you know, internally, the internal energy again arranged Srila Prabhupada to take initiation from His Divine Grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, who was born in Jagannath Puri. Right? Adore, adore you all, the happy day. Blessed than heaven, sweeter than May. When he appeared at Puri, that holy place, my Lord and Master, His Divine Grace. So Bhaktisiddhanta was born right there in Puri. Again, the internal energy, the Lord going by the house of Bhaktivinoda. We can go and visit that house today. Bhaktisiddhanta was brought out before the deity, and the garland of Lord Jagannath fell upon the baby. Srila Prabhupada took initiation from such a spiritual master, so dear to Lord Jagannath, that he was born on the grand procession road. So then Srila Prabhupada, he was always having Lord Jagannath in his heart, always worshiping the Lord. And when he graduated from university, although he protested and did not accept his diploma, he went to Puri because he was always anxious to see Lord Jagannath. He had never been to Puri, although it is quite a short distance from Calcutta. It's an overnight train ride down south. But Srila Prabhupada was not very happy to be in Puri after seeing the degradation of the pujaris. He was not happy that Lord Jagannath was not being taken care of properly. And so he didn't return to Puri. But when Srila Prabhupada eventually came to the United States, Lord Jagannath didn't forget him. Didn't forget him. Because Lord Jagannath followed Srila Prabhupada to San Francisco. Srila Prabhupada was coming to preach the message of Lord Chaitanya, but Lord Jagannath had followed Srila Prabhupada there. And once again, the internal energy inspired one of his disciples to procure Lord Jagannath and bring it to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada paid his dunderbus. Oh, the Lord of the universe has arrived. The devotees were aghast. What? The Lord of the universe? What's that? I thought we worshipped Krishna. No, this is Krishna. This is Lord Jagannath. And then Prabhupada said, are there more? And Malati said, yeah, there's a whole big wine barrel full of them. You know, there's white ones, there's yellow ones, there's black ones. And she said, Prabhupada, bring them all, bring them all. So she went back and procured the white one, Balaram, and the yellow one. Saffron one, Subhadra, Lady Subhadra. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada had been followed not only by Jagannath, but by Balaram and Subhadra. Again, the internal potency of the Lord. Prabhupada hadn't brought the Jagannath deities with him with that idea. No, but Lord Jagannath followed. Then, Srila Prabhupada, Malati's husband just so happened to be a woodcarver. Once again, he said, "Oh, can you carve bigger ones?" And Samasundar said, "Oh, yes, I can carve bigger ones." And Prabhupada, Samasundar said, "How big?" And Prabhupada said, "This big." Like sitting down on the floor, he was putting his hands up to about 3 or 3.5, 4 feet tall. And Samasundar was to go on to carve the three sets of Lord Jagannath, which were installed in the San Francisco Temple and the Los Angeles Temple. And yes, before Rukmini Dwarkadish, Lord Jagannath was a predominating deity of this temple. Lord Jagannath was the first deity of this temple. And in London. So he carved three sets of deities at different times over the next 2.5, 3 years. But he carved the deity. And Gurudas was telling me last week, he said, Prabhupada was coming to visit the deity, Lord Jagannath, every day. And Samasundar was taking his time, because the idea was that as long as the deity wasn't finished, then Prabhupada wouldn't leave to go to another temple. Because he was, all the devotees from back east, Boston and New York and all those places, they were all writing, "Prabhupada, come, Prabhupada, you have to come here. We have people to be initiated, blah, blah." And Prabhupada was saying, yes, but the deities are being carved. So Samasundar was taking his time, you know. Taking his time, going real slow. Prabhupada was coming up every time. He said, "Oh, everything is going nicely here." But Samasundar was going, "Yes, I know. It's different." Have to sand it down a little bit. And then, so anyways, Lord Jagannath finally was finished. And Samasundar built an altar and placed... The altar was very practical in those days, because the temple room was very narrow. We were there last week. We did a tour of the 518 Frederick Street and brought a busload of people there to see the temple. And you can see it's a long, narrow storefront, a high ceiling. So Samasundra built a beautiful redwood altar. And on the first tier was Lord Chaitanya and the Sankirtan picture with Katamashayi, the deity, as we have in the restaurant here, Krishna the boss man with his hand on his hip. And then Lord Jagannath was on the second tier, up above, Krishna, Balaram, and Subhadra. So the Lord was installed. And Prabhupada was very anxious to have the people get to develop a friendly relationship with the Lord. So he said, "We will install them right away." And there was no elaborate installation. The installation consisted of a big brass place with a candle in the middle. And Prabhupada said, "We take the candle and we offer the flame to Lord Jagannath, and then we pass the candle around to everybody, and everybody in the temple has a chance to come before the Lord and make an offering of the light." Then there it is. He's installed. There's no need to do anything else. Prabhupada said, "The deity's installed." So in this way, Prabhupada was teaching us right from the beginning how to worship Lord Jagannath. And many of the devotees were, very enthusiastic to worship the Lord. So a little while after Lord Jagannath was in the temple, and Prabhupada had his apartment right upstairs from the temple, about on the fifth floor of the same building, 518 Frederick Street. His apartment was up there. So one day, the devotees had this idea. They said, "Well, Lord Jagannath, he's the Lord of the universe, and it's a beautiful sunny day in Golden Gate Park, imagine 1967, Golden Gate Park, Hippie Hill, you know, thousands of people in the meadow there, Sharon Meadows." And the devotees thought, "Well, would it be a great idea? We could bring Lord Jagannath to the park." So they just didn't ask Prabhupada's permission or anything like that, didn't consult the Shastra. They just, "That was a good idea. It's a great idea. We like the park. Everybody's in the park. Why be closed up in the temple on a beautiful day like this? Bring Lord Jagannath." And in those days, Lord Jagannath didn't even have any clothes. He was just painted. No clothes, no turban, nothing elaborate like that. No, they just grabbed Lord Jagannath, whisked him off the they also left Balaram and Subhadra by themselves on the altar. Another no-no. But anyways, somehow or other, they were superseding that regulation with their enthusiasm. They brought Lord Jagannath to the park, And lo and behold, Lord Jagannath became like a pivot point for the whole park, you know, the whole Hippie Hill and Sharon Meadows. They all started revolving around Lord Jagannath, and the devotees were chanting. They had kettle drums and bugles, and kirtan was going on, and all people joined hands, and they started dancing around Lord Jagannath spontaneously. So some of the devotees became so enthusiastic, they ran back to the apartment. It's about a five-minute run. And they ran up the stairs, and they were breathtaking. They said, Prabhupada, Prabhupada, all the people are gathered around Lord Jagannath. They're dancing in the park. And Prabhupada said, dancing in the park with Lord Jagannath? What do you mean? They said, we brought Jagannath to the park, and everyone's dancing around Lord Jagannath. So Prabhupada jumped up, and he ran down the stairs, and he ran with the devotees in the park. And there's a famous picture, and there's actually footage of that, of Srila Prabhupada sitting in Golden Gate Park, right there at the Sharon Meadows, at the base of Hippie Hill, with all thousands of hippies and devotees all dancing around Lord Jagannath hand in hand. So Srila Prabhupada had to, he had to chastise the devotees in a very judicious way, because he didn't want to stymie their enthusiasm. But at the same time, he wanted to make sure that they knew that you can't whimsically just pick up Lord Jagannath and just take him to the park without Balaram or Subhadra or anything like that. Prabhupada said, actually, Lord Jagannath does come out of the temple, but only once a year on the Rath Yatra. And I will show you how to celebrate that Rath Yatra. Again, the internal energy. So Srila Prabhupada, that incident passed, and a few days went by, and Prabhupada was up in his apartment, and he was looking down on the street. Frederick Street runs right below the apartment. And he would see these trucks go by. And he said, he called in Mukunda, or one of those early devotees, I think it was Mukunda, and he said, can we get one of those flat trucks? What are those trucks called? And he said, oh, a flatbed truck. So the diggers, which was they were right next door to the temple. They were anarchists, and there were a group of people in the Haight-Ashbury district, and they started the free clinic and the free food distribution. Free food. They were anarchists. They were tried to undermine the government by burning money. They had money burn-ins. In this way, they were, undermining the federal government by burning money and inducing everybody else to throw in, the money in the big burn hole. But the diggers had a flatbed truck next door, so they gave us the truck, and Srila Prabhupada sketched a little Rath Yatra cart on top of the back of the flatbed truck. He sketched it with his own hands. He said, Krishna can look backwards, Balaram can look that way, Subhadra can look that way, you can put garlands on, you can have a little canopy over it, and this way, Srila Prabhupada said, this will be our first Rath Yatra. This was in 1967 at Hay Street. So the devotees got to work on the cart and everything like that, and unfortunately, Srila Prabhupada was a little bit ill at that time. So the devotees thought, well, Prabhupada needs more of a seaside atmosphere. So they rented a cottage over on Stinson Beach, which is on the other side of Golden Gate Bridge. And it was a nice cottage right on the ocean. And in this way, Srila Prabhupada was over there on the day of the Rath Yatra Festival through Haight and Ashbury Streets with the flatbed truck, with Lord Balaram, Lord Jagannath, and Subhadra. So the devotees were feeling a little separation from Srila Prabhupada, so they just, at the end of the Rath Yatra Festival, they said, well, if Prabhupada can't come to the Rath Yatra Festival, we'll bring the Rath Yatra Festival to Prabhupada. So they tied Lord Jagannath and Subhadra Balaram on the back of the truck, tied them down, and they took off over the Golden Gate Bridge with Lord Jagannath flying in the wind, the flags were flying, and the guy at the toll booth was like, all right, and here goes Lord Jagannath, and all the devotees in the truck and behind the truck, and they pulled up to Srila Prabhupada's cottage at the beach, And then they lit a big bonfire on the beach, and Srila Prabhupada came out, and there's pictures of also Srila Prabhupada dancing on the beach at Stinson Beach with Lord Jagannath. Again, you know, Prabhupada drawing him in. First, the deity follows Srila Prabhupada, then the deity gets carved big, and then the devotees take Lord Jagannath out to the park, and then Prabhupada says, no, you have to have the Rath Yatra festival like this. So that was the first Rath Yatra in 1967. 1968, again, the devotees wanted to establish the tradition of Rath Yatra. So, again, they had a Rath Yatra. This time they built a Rath Yatra cart. And it was not exactly, it more looked like a Buddhist cart. It had like yellow canopies, you know, it was a proper chariot with wheels and everything, but it had these canopies, umbrellas. We had maybe, 15 or 20 umbrellas, all different lengths like that, making a dome like that, an umbrella here, umbrella, yellow and red. It was a good attempt. But there wasn't any pictures of Rath Yatra cart. So that was the second Rath Yatra cart. And I attended that. That was the beginning when I moved in to the temple, right at that Rath Yatra festival in 1968. I had been coming to the temple, but that put me over the edge. You know, when I attended that Rath Yatra festival, there was no turning back. So then the next year, 1969, was a very, very important year for this Rath Yatra, because Srila Prabhupada wanted it to be established and executed more authentically. So he told me, I was here in Los Angeles, and he said, you should go to San Francisco and become the temple president of San Francisco and organize the Rath Yatra just like it is in Puri in India. So what to do, how to do it? We got some photo from the Indian Airways, you know, like a promotional photo, a promotional pamphlet. And on the pamphlet, they had this aerial view looking down at the Rath Yatra carts and millions of people at the Rath Yatra Festival. You've all probably seen that photo. So from that picture, we blew it up, we magnified it, we learned all the details and everything about Rath Yatra carts and how they were constructed, how many wheels and the swan, all the painting scheme and everything we learned like that. And Srila Prabhupada attended that Rath Yatra. That was started at Hayton Ashbury Streets. And Srila Prabhupada, I remember it was kind of a dreary, drizzly day. And Srila Prabhupada came from the temple and he came to the Rath Yatra cart. And they wouldn't let us start right at Hayden Ashbury because they didn't want to clog up that intersection. It was always a busy intersection. So we went up one block higher. We started the rough procession one block higher. What was that, Carl? It goes by there, Carl? Up there, Carl, yeah. Up there. And then we were going to drop down, Carl crosses Ashbury, right? So then we're going to drop down Ashbury and, proceed from Hayden Ashbury. So Srila Prabhupada was on the cart there. And he sat down on the cart in the rain. I mean, it was drizzling. It wasn't a fog. It was actually a drizzle because some of the devotees had to hold an umbrella over Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada gave the most amazing talk at that time. And I don't think anybody recorded that talk. But the outstanding point about that talk is that Srila Prabhupada said that according to your Aquarian gospel. Now, in those days, in 1967, the Aquarian gospel was kind of like a very popular amongst the hippie crew because it challenged the established religions, establishments, religions' outlook on the books of the Bible. So when Prabhupada said, according to your Aquarian gospel, in other words, Prabhupada wasn't saying, I believe in this Aquarian gospel or anything like that, but according to your Aquarian gospel, Prabhupada said, there is a passage in your Aquarian gospel that says that Jesus Christ visited Jagannath Puri. So Jesus Christ is the founder of the Western religion, Christianity. So he came all the way from the Middle East to see Lord Jagannath in Jagannath Puri. So he is the founder of the Western religion, the Lord of the Western religion, and Lord Jagannath is the Lord of the Eastern religion. And so now Lord Jagannath has come from the East back to the West to repay the favor. We were astonished. And everybody in the crowd applauded. Jai, Jai! Jagannath has come to repay the favor of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then we pulled the Roth cart down the street, down Haight-Ashbury. We took a left. We went down Haight Street. And all the people joined in. Thousands of people joined in. Srila Prabhupada said there was 10,000 people. And Prabhupada said, and they followed me 7 miles to the ocean. Because that year we went all the way through Golden Gate Park to the ocean. And there at the ocean, there was a concert hall called the Family Dog. The Family Dog Auditorium. Owned by Chet Helms. He was a hippie, a flower child. And he gave us the hall. So when we got to the ocean, you go by the windmill there, and then right when you hit the ocean, this huge wind starts blowing straight off the ocean. And we were like in a big ship trying to hold the canopy down, and we thought the mast was going to snap and everything like that. But the mast, that's another thing altogether. Because in 1968, the first time we went through the park, we came to the famous bridge. And Shamashunda had built the concocted Rathyatra cart, and he didn't have a telescopic raising device. So Shamashunda, when we got to the bridge, the Rathyatra was too big to get through the bridge. So Shamashunda had to climb up on all those umbrellas like that and saw off the pinnacle and saw off the top. Saw the top off, and everybody was underneath that bridge, that famous bridge where the Roth carts start now this year. And they were having this huge, enormous kirtan, which is echoing back and forth through that bridge. So Lord Jagannath sawed off the pinnacle, and we went through to the ocean. Well, this time, the second time, we brought the Roth cart there, and Narayan, who is a genius, Rathyatra genius, he devised a raising mechanism. Again, the internal energy. How to get through the Lord Jagannath, because Jagannath had to be a big cart, and how to get that big cart through the underpass and underneath the train, like that. So when we were coming to the first Rathyatra, the policemen who had been there the year before, they were kind of sitting back like that, chuckling. Looks like the Rathyatra's over now. You'll never fit that underneath that. Looks like it's over now, you guys. We saw it last year. You barely got it through with that. You'll never make it this year. And then as the Rathyatra approached the bridge, the canopy started to come down. And it shrunk from 30 feet up in the air down to just about 12 feet high. And went right underneath. Prabhupada was on the Roth cart. And meanwhile, while the mechanism was coming down, we weren't as so sophisticated of a mechanism as we do today. We had two masts like that. So, we had these cranks that you had to let it down, and it got kind of crimped. So, you have to wind it one up and then wind one down. It was kind of going up and down. Prabhupada was sitting on the cart, and he got up off his feet, off his seat, his Vyasa-san, and he started dancing and dancing, and the big garland was coming apart and falling down, and all the people underneath the bridge, the same bridge where the internal energy had arranged for us to have the enormous kirtan the year before, Prabhupada conducted this fantastic, kirtan there. Well, the Roth cart, the raising mechanism came down, Roth cart went through, and then Srila Prabhupada actually, he went back to his apartment during the last half of the festival procession, and then he met us at the Family Dog Auditorium, and he gave another transcendental speech. So that was 1969. In 1970 was a momentous year, because 1970 was the first year that we had free Rathiyatra carts. Not just one, not just a concocted thing like in 68, not a flatbed truck, but over the course of 3 years, we had graduated from a flatbed truck to three enormous chariots, all with raising mechanisms. Each Rathiyatra cart was painted in the proper color. We had got a lot more photos by then. We were able to authenticate the different colors of the chariots and the different sizes of the chariots and the color schemes, and everything was there. So that was the third year. And Srila Prabhupada said to me, "Now this is very dangerous." He said, "This Rathiyatra is very dangerous because we have three Rath carts, and you have advertised so much." And it was funny, throughout my devotional life, I'd always been a little bit embarrassed that sometimes we would arrange for a speaking engagement for Prabhupada, and not that many people would show up, you know. Or Rathiyatras, they were okay, but I was a little embarrassed sometimes that people didn't, you know, for the amount of advertising we did, people didn't show up. But this year, in 1970, an amazing thing happened. It was mystic, because we had the Rath carts in the parking lot behind the temple. And the temple was a little small. I mean, it was like a little small room. It was about as big as the deity room. The whole temple was about as big as the deity room. That's not exaggerating. And from this little small storefront, this enormous festival had been generated. I mean, we went over the top. We had advertisements in every city bus in the area, advertising Rathiyatra inside the bus. On H Street, Fell Street, Oak Street, we had banners, not just little posters up. We had banners, you know, 3x6 banners flying on all the poles, up and down, Fell Street, Oak Street, H Street, Coles, like that. We had outdone ourselves. And when we finally pulled the Rath carts out onto Stanyan Street, I was amazed. I was aghast. The whole street, from Frederick Street all the way down past the park, was filled with people. Filled with people. It was at least, I mean, I'm not exaggerating. There must have been 25,000, 30,000 people on the street. It was like a peace march. And I gulped. I went, "Oh no, what have we done? We created this monster. How are we going to take care of it?" And now we're already running about 2 hours late. 2 hours late already, because what happened is all the people parked in the parking lot back there, and then they all kind of walked, went out in the street, went here, went there, you know, and we couldn't get the Rathiyatra cars out of the parking lot. So we had to physically pick up cars and move them out of it, because people had the cars locked and everything. We had to pick up cars, bouncing, boom, 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 boom. Pick a little Volkswagen, boom, you know. Pick another one. No, this is not exaggerated. People were picking cars up, bouncing them, like, so we made a way out. Finally, we get out. Think you have problems, some of us. We had to bounce cars out of the way. So, but anyways, Srila Prabhupada said, "This is very dangerous. You're creating a very big festival, and it's very dangerous. So I am going to give you a special mantra that you should chant before this." So this is the first time Prabhupada gave us Namaste Narasimhaya, Pralada Dalalaini. That whole mantra. Nobody had that mantra before. It wasn't chanted at any temple. We all chanted Tabakara Kamalavarena Kam. But the first part of the mantra, Prabhupada gave it to him. And he had it typed out on a piece of paper, and we distributed it to everybody, and we were practicing it, you know, in the temple. And Prabhupada said, "Before the Rathiyatra cart starts, the procession starts, you have to chant this mantra three times." So, sure enough, Rathiyatra came. Lord Jagannath came out of the temple, put on the chariot, and I forgot to chant the mantra. Forgot to chant the mantra. So, here comes the instruction. Lord Jagannath and Balaram, Subhadra, all have their magnificent chariots standing in streets filled with thousands and thousands of people. Thousands and thousands of people. How are we going to feed all these people? How are we going to feed them all? Somehow or other we did. So the Rath Yatra carts were being pulled out. So the devotee children were all up on the Rath cart. They were being up on the Rath carts. You know, there was a special privilege for all the kids. There weren't that many devotee kids, but many of the Indian people had their children there. So there was a bunch of kids, you know, and we allowed them to go up on the Rath cart. And they were throwing out flowers and things like that. So some of the kids in the neighborhood, the African American kids, they said, "Hey, you know, we want to go up there in the up on the chariot too." And we said, no, you can't go up there. That's just for devotee kids. They said, "What? You're not letting us go up there? Well, how come those kids are going up there?" And they said, "Well, they're devotee kids, you know. They got dhotis on. They got tilak on." "Hey, what do you mean? Just because we're black? Just because we're black, we can't go up?" And we said, no, it's not because you're black, you know. And this was right in the middle of the Black Panther movement, you know. San Francisco, I mean, Oakland, that's where the Black Panthers were from. They were prominent. They were on the streets every day. They were black militants. And it was a racial tension was there in the air. So the black kids were very upset. So they ran home and they got their cousins and their brothers and their uncles. And they all started coming forward and they said, "We want our kids to be up on to ride on those chariots." I said, "No, we're not going to let your kids ride on the chariots. They're not devotee kids. They're not dressed like devotees. They just want to go up there and steal the candy. You know? So we're not going to let them." So then there was pushing and yelling and shoving, and a melee broke out. A Donnybrook. You know, a row. It was really a row. And the devotees had to defend Lord Jagannath. They had to defend the chariots, because the Afro-American brothers, you know, were easily identified, and they were militants. You know, they were used to fighting and rioting, and they had, you know, the proper chops. And they didn't think the devotees, you know, had any chops. And I didn't think so either. The devotees started fighting back. And we had all these beautiful flagpoles with pennants on them. So the devotees started using them like spears. They were jabbing the people with spears like that, keeping them off the chariots like this. And this was happening right as the chariots were going to turn into the park and at the beginning of Golden Gate Park there. So the devotees were spearing the African-Americans and American-Americans. And then one devotee from New York is a big black devotee. And the African-Americans thought, "Well, he's not going to fight against us." And he was out there beating on the Black Panther guys. Because he was a devotee. You know, he had transcended the body. So anyways, there was a big fight going on. And Prabhupada hadn't arrived. The plan was that Srila Prabhupada was going to get on the chariot right there at the beginning of the park. So, big fight was breaking out. And then the crowd, it was like panic in the crowd. Because I didn't chant those prayers to Lord Nrsimhadev, all this is happening. So, the big panic in the crowd, and all the people started to surge forward like that. And they surged so with such force that they broke the weld on the axle on Balaram's cart. And chunk, the whole cart just went down and smashed into the street. The wheel was off. The axle was dug into the pavement. And I said, "Oh, my gosh, what are we going to do now?" So I thought, I looked at Brahmananda and I said, Prabhupada can't come here. It's, you know, it's, you know, I don't know what's going to happen next. Maybe we'll start a fire or something. Or something's going to, you know, go on. So I sprinted back, all the way back to the Prabhupada's apartment. And Prabhupada hadn't left yet. And I said, "Prabhupada, you know, there's a riot going on." And Prabhupada said, "Did you chant the mantras?" I said, "No." I'll chant them, though, when I get back. Prabhupada said, no, it's too late. You forgot to chant the mantras. So Prabhupada said, so you have advertised that I will speak at the beginning of the festival? And I said, yeah, it's advertised. He said, well, if you have advertised, then I must go. So at that point, I didn't know whether a full-fledged race riot had broken out at that time or what had happened. But what actually had happened, that Lord Jagannath's cart was crippled. Lord Balaram's cart was crippled. And we had to drag it off to the side and put it on the grass. And Lord Balaram had to get, double up with Subhadra. And Srila Prabhupada, skirted the park in his car and entered in from the side entrance there. And as we were pulling the two rough carts, and I didn't go in Prabhupada's car. I sprinted back to the chariot and told them that Srila Prabhupada's coming. But, we were pulling the Roth cart through the park by then. And so we were pulling the carts, two carts now. And lo and behold, we saw this apparition, the saffron apparition coming towards us in the park. And it was Srila Prabhupada in his saffron dhoti. And Srila Prabhupada came before the Lord and he started to dance. And he looked like a young boy. He looked like he was galloping. He was dancing. There's photos of Prabhupada dancing like that. And all the devotees are around him, and he's dancing before the Lord. And so then we took the Roth carts all the way to the ocean, again to the family dog, and Srila Prabhupada came there and gave a really heartfelt talk. But Prabhupada, after he danced in front of the Lord, he got in his car and he went back to his apartment for an hour or so before we arrived, because it was like 7 miles to the ocean. And when Srila Prabhupada was going back to his car, he was seeing all these different hippies and people that were attending the Roth cart, and they were kind of like spread out throughout the park. They weren't right there around the cart. And they were chanting Hare Krishna, and Prabhupada was very happy that these people are chanting Hare Krishna. They're not part of the kirtan party. They're not right close to the cart, but they're all just kind of leisurely walking through the park, and they're chanting Hare Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada was very, very happy to see that. So then Srila Prabhupada came to the Family Dog Auditorium, and this way, 1968, 1969, 1970. And then the tradition was carried on in London. Samasunda had carved a set of deities for the Lord. And then New York followed the tradition, and Melbourne, Australia. When I went to Australia in 1972, the first thing I did was organize a Rath Yatra. And then Los Angeles came. Lord Jagannath is waiting. He's waiting for a long time for his first Rath Yatra festival, but now it's being held. It's the most splendorous, biggest, most elaborate, most established Rath Yatra Festival in the Western world, and Lord Jagannath is presiding every year. And so we can see that the Lord is very particular, and Srila Prabhupada was chosen by Lord Jagannath to introduce this festival to the Western world. Many swamis have come and gone, but no one has ever introduced a festival like Rath Yatra. And it was perfect. The introduction of Lord Jagannath is perfect. It's a perfect introduction because as I was saying, in 1967, Haight-Ashbury was like a big, unmanaged drug experiment. It was like everybody was there. Thousands and thousands of people were there. And they had nowhere to go, and people were just coming out to the street giving them all sorts of new drugs. LSD, STP, DMP, and ST, whatever, all the letters were there. MDA. And the people were just taking drugs. And they were coming to the temple all dazed and freaked out. And the devotees would have to chant with them. And they would look up at the altar, and they would see Lord Jagannath smiling. It was no Judeo-Christian type of deity. It was no Jesus Christ, or it was Lord Jagannath, smiling. Who's that? That's the Lord of the universe. Yeah, he's the Lord of the universe. Krishna, Balaram, and Subhadra. The family, the transcendental family. So like that, Srila Prabhupada introduced Lord Jagannath at that time in 1967. What a perfect deity. The perfect deity for the perfect time. You know, Srila Prabhupada had Samasunda carve the deities like that. So one last story just to cap it off. It's a very nice story from the Chaitanya Bhagavat. That it was a devotee named Pundarik Vidyaniti. And he was from Bengal. And he was an elderly devotee. And Lord Chaitanya used to call him father. He had a parental relationship. And he came from Bengal, and he was greeted by